Thank you, Mr. Tornblad. Can you all hear me okay? All right, good deal. It's nice to see everybody here on this beautiful Sabbath day. Welcome to our visitors and guests. The giving of the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai is often associated as being around the time of the Feast of Pentecost. Let's go back in time, in your mind's eye, to Mount Sinai at the time when the Ten Commandments were given. God had instructed the children of Israel to sanctify themselves and wash their clothes, for he would appear unto them in a dark cloud on the third day. In Exodus 19, starting in verse 3, we read, Exodus 19, verse 3, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." We see that same phraseology in Revelation 5:10. Continuing, "These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Verse 7, "And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered and said together, All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto you in a thick cloud, and the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes." Imagine the scene. The people were sanctified. They were gathered together for a momentous occasion. We read in Exodus 19, verse 16, "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled." In chapter 20 of Exodus, the Ten Commandments were given by God to all the Israelites. In chapters 21 to 23, other laws and ordinances were given. In chapter 24 and verse 3, we read what the people said. "All the words which the Lord hath said, we will do." And again, in verse 7, "And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." In verse 8, Moses sprinkled the blood of the covenant on the people. The Israelites had just entered a marriage covenant with their Creator God. They had become the people of God. They would be known by His name. They had taken His name upon themselves as a wife takes the name of her husband. For millennia, brides have taken the name of their husband when they entered into marriage. It is only in the past few decades that brides have kept their maiden names after marriage. What had God warned the people from Mount Sinai about taking His name? Let's take a look at it by turning in our Bibles to Exodus 20, verse 7. Exodus 20, verse 7. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." I ask, what does it mean to take God's name in vain? The answer that is most often given is that we are not to swear using God's name in a frivolous manner, or using vulgar language that includes God's name. What is meant by vain? I looked up vain in Webster's dictionary and found the following meanings. Vain, as an adjective, thinking too highly of one's appearance, attainments, etc., failing to produce the desired result. A vain attempt to escape, empty, vain boasts, in vain, without success, to no purpose, to take someone's name in vain, to speak about someone without proper respect. According to Vine's Complete Expository Dictionary of the Old and New Testament Words, the words in vain are translated from the Hebrew word saw, which means deceit, deception, malice, falsity, vanity, and emptiness. It is true that we are not to use God's name in careless and reckless manner. Examples of such are using God's name in our speech that would seem to add authority or validity to what we are saying, or using God's name in a manner that implies we are being truthful in a matter. Some evoke God's name in an attempt to come across as holy and righteous. Others evoke his name to come across as anything other than holy and righteous. Still others feel that we should only use a tetragrammaton, the letters Yod Heh Vav Heh, which are transliterated YHWH when referring to God. Reading the United Church of God's publication, The Ten Commandments, it states, "The third commandment focuses on showing respect. It addresses the way we communicate our feelings about God to others and to Him. It encompasses our attitudes, speech, and behavior. It goes through a very thorough explanation by respecting God and His name, and also that of Jesus Christ, because He represented God and was sent by God to reveal Him. Not only are we to respect what we say, we are to respect Him by what we do. The Apostle Paul says that whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. As the booklet states, in other words, whatever they do is to be done according to the approval, authority, or authorization of Jesus Christ in His name. Using His name, however, in any manner that would be reproach, disrespect, or shame on that name is a sin and violates the third commandment. We are therefore to honor God, not only in our speech, but also by our example. We are known as Christians to the world. We have taken the name of Christian upon ourselves. We have taken that name when we were baptized, when we committed at our baptism to become Christians. We have taken Christ's name, Christian, God's name, upon ourselves. As a wife takes the name of her husband, we as the future bride of Jesus Christ are also taking upon ourselves the name Christian. We are not to take that name in vain. Now think about what the words of the third commandment again. God spoke these words, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Now, obviously, God didn't speak these words in English, but in the Semitic tongue. The English translators of the Bible, however, coined words that would reflect their meaning of the Hebrew words. So God was instructing His future bride, the children of Israel, to not take His name in vain, to not be called the children of God, the nation of God. He was telling the people not to take lightly the covenant that they were about to enter, for there would be consequences. The Lord will not hold him guiltless for entering His covenant, for taking His name in vain. In much the same way, Christians today are the future bride of Christ. The church is a bride adorned for her husband. We will be married to Christ at His return. We also must not take His name, a Christian, in vain. we entered a covenant at our baptism, and that we would take the name of a Christian. We are to reflect that in our day-to-day life through all that we do. If we are to take that name, Christian, in vain, we will also not be held guiltless. In Luke 9, verse 62, Jesus stated, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We are to take our calling as a Christian. We are not to take our calling as a Christian in vain. As we think about our calling, we may feel that we have fallen short of what is expected of us. What are we to do? In Mark 12, verse 30, Christ admonished us to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, Paul admonished the Ephesians, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." As Christians, we are the betrothed future wife of Jesus Christ. Remember to not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain.